Tonight I'm gonna teach on, I don't know if this is gonna go one session, two sessions, or what. It's, we'll see how it goes. I don't know if God will have me add to it. I know that there is something He wants me to add to it. But tonight I'm gonna talk about establishing covenant with God. Really simple. I'm gonna approach this from a perspective that that I haven't really taught on. I've kind of referenced it a little bit here and there, trying to get it across to you, and it actually comes out of Hebrews 11:6, you know, where it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And a while back, God started showing me that this is the beginning of covenant. That if a person comes to Him and responds to Him in this way, that this is the beginning of covenant with God, and that. And for those of you that, you know, I mean, there are some of you that know your covenant. You have covenant with God. You've been walking in your covenant. You've been diligent to fulfill your part and stuff. And then there are those of you that, you know, you believe in God for things, and you're believing God, you know, for the promises and for things in your life and so on. And, you know, God's moving. He's doing things for you. It's a blessing. But there's a place where we can walk with Him, and I want to kind of dig that out a little bit as I teach this. There's a place where we can walk with Him that if we get in there and we really set up that relationship with Him, that covenant relationship. And I want you to understand, more than anything, people have had, even the Jews had this idea that covenant was a transactional relationship with God. Whereas, you know, it was quid pro quo. That's Latin for, you know, you give, and it's give and take, okay? And at least I think that's what it means, but that's how they use it. But the point being is that it's not like that. It's not like you make a deal with God and you enter into a contract and you do your part and He does His. And then, you know, you just kind of, these things come together. It's not like that. That's not what God is after. He's after relationship. And so, you know, I've been teaching on building your relationship with God, and I was teaching that, I believe it was on Sunday. I was teaching on it on Sunday, finished it up, and I've definitely used Hebrews 11:6 as a basis for talking about the first thing that starts off with, you know, building a relationship with God is diligently seeking Him. And then, you know, from there, God really began to show me that the next, you know, natural, you know, I don't know what you call it, next actual step in this, or next actual thing that comes out of this, is that you begin to build a relationship with Him that's based on covenant. And it's really built around some concepts here, and I'm going to get into those concepts tonight. But I want you to understand that this is, I'm looking at this from the point of view of covenant. And I'm going to talk a lot about seeking God. I'm going to share some things about that. But I'm going to share some other things, too, that I think are really important. That if we get it, I think it's going to really be a blessing to us. Amen? So Hebrews 11:6. And I kind of want to just kind of go through Hebrews 11:6 real quick, just to kind of remind us of, you know, just some of the words and what they mean, so that we can amplify what this scripture is talking about. You know, we talked about without faith. The word without is, it means at a space separately or apart from. So without faith or apart from faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now faith, you guys, I'm going to tell you something. Faith is more of an intuitive concept in some ways than it is just a natural kind of definition. And even though I give you guys definitions of the word faith, it's really kind of to get you going in the direction of walking in faith and achieving faith in God, faith in, you know, in His promises and so on. But to be honest with you, you gotta, you know, faith really is more about establishing this kind of intuitive kind of, you know, it's not just a relationship with God, but it's this intuitive connection with God, to where you have such tremendous confidence that what He promises, He will fulfill. And, you know, of course, the word declares that God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. You know, has He said and will He not do, or has He spoken and will He not make it good? You know, this is scripture. I mean, God has made a stand that if He says something, He keeps it. And that's what we're to base our faith on. We're to base our faith on the fact that not just that God has promised, but the integrity of God behind that. understanding and knowing God. And I really think that a lot of people struggle with faith in God because they really lack understanding God himself. They don't really get him sometimes. They just think of God as being this old, you know, bearded white guy. And I hate to say it like that, but a lot of people think of him that way, sitting on some throne up there. And that's not who he is. I mean, I think we're going to be shocked when we finally come face to face with God and begin to understand who he is. Even after this is all over, it's going to take us a while to really grasp God. It's going to take us a while to not accept God, but to, you know, because we're going to know him as we're known. You know, you're going to know God as you're known at that time. But the thing is that when it comes to interacting with him, it's something that we're going to develop as a relationship. Amen. I mean, I've been married 45, 46 years, going on 46 years, or is it? Yeah, going on 46. And I know my wife, but you know what? There have been times in our marriage when our relationship was nil. I mean, it was very low. You know, so it's one thing to know, it's another to have that relationship. And of course, relationship is built on interaction. It's built on engaging one another and connecting to one another with common ground. You know, a lot of marriages, you know, they die and fall apart because people lose that common ground. You know, they begin to take their side and the other person takes their side, and pretty soon you have this antagonism because you're different and you don't see things the same. Well, that's, you know, get over that. That's just a fact. You know, we've got to find common ground upon which we can relate. And that's the same with God. As you get to know God, you know, it's not a matter of just knowing him. It's a matter of interacting with him and beginning to understand him, to begin to relate to him, you know, to engage him more fully. Amen. And so I think that, you know, God had me teach that whole, you know, teaching on building a relationship with God as a foundation for it to even begin to discuss covenant with God and establishing covenant with God. I believe that's really important to him. And then it goes on to say, now the word faith here, this is where I was going with this, but the word faith here is the word pistis, and it means persuasion, it means credence, means moral conviction. Unfortunately, I don't think that today's Christian, you know, in the language of today. Now, these definitions from Strong's and different people came at a much earlier time in history. I don't remember when Strong's. I don't know when Strong's wrote the Strong's Concordance. It may be 100 years old. It may only be 60 or 70 years old. But, you know, even in that earlier time, the concept of moral conviction was something that people really understood. In other words, when you had moral conviction about something, that was something that you held on to as a belief structure that you would never turn away from. It tended to define you as a person. And that happens whether you're born again or not. People begin to take on these convictions, these moral convictions about things, and it defines them. And it may not be good, it may be bad, but it's one of those things where, you know, having true moral conviction is, you know, having true moral conviction, it's about understanding your relationship with God, where you stand, where God stands, the fact that you're seeking to come into harmony with God, not get God to come into harmony with you. The arrogance that we have nowadays towards God is amazing. As the church, the arrogance that we have of God, that we think we can boss him around and tell him what we want and make him comply with what our requirements are. That's such a sad state that people have gotten into. And it really, you know, a lot of what people think they're attaining from God, they're attaining from the world. And they're complying with the way the world does things in order to get it. Because that's not how God works. I mean, God loves us. But you know what? There are some conditions to getting covenant relationship with God. And you can be born again and your name is written in the book of life and never walk in covenant with God. And go to heaven and then discover that you missed out on a whole aspect of your walk with God that you never even dreamed was there in the earth when you were in the earth. So many people, they begin to understand, you know, that have gone to heaven for a moment and come back, you know, they understand with clarity how off they were in the earth. That doesn't mean that, you know, they don't go back to being dumb, but it, you know, it sure changes them for a good while. And in some cases, it changes them forever. And I've seen that. I've known people that have gone and then come back and they're no better off after a while. They're just no better off than they were before, you know, they had those experiences. So experiences don't guarantee that you're going to have greater faith. Experiences don't guarantee that you're going to have a greater relationship with God. You know, and even covenant won't guarantee that you have greater relationship with God. Covenant should be something that actually comes out of the relationship that you have with God, that righteousness that you have, that you've built and developed with God. Now, I know that in a generic sense, you know, you're made righteous immediately by faith in Christ. But there's so much more to that from the Word of God than, you know, than just saying, well, I believe and therefore I'm righteous and I have right to everything. It doesn't quite work like that. Now, God will take care of your needs. He'll meet your needs. He chose the children of Israel. They rebelled against him, and he still took care of them while they were in the wilderness. They had food every day. Their clothes never rotted off their back. Their shoes never, you know, rotted off their feet. They had water. They had shade during the day, and they had warmth at night by the pillar of fire. God took care of them, but was he pleased with them? No. You know, and God takes care of his people. Sometimes he does it because it's his nature. It's because it's not just out of obligation. It's out of the fact that he won't allow himself to be upset and then turn that person off and that become a bad testimony. But, you know, people, you know, it's time for us to begin. It's time for us to start moving more towards God. And in this way, that covenant is how we connect more intimately and more personally with God than we've ever thought before. And a lot of people have this idea that, you know, if I just love God, love God, love God, love God, you know, and just tell him how much I love him and then just love him and love him and love him, then that, you know, I have a relationship with God. That's not entirely true. That love isn't true love until we're also fulfilling other conditions, especially like keeping his commandments and, you know, doing the word, you know, and you know, becoming children of light and so on. Now, not to get so far ahead of myself, I get lost here, but coming back to this, that moral conviction is something that we are looking to develop, that we have such a depth of conviction of the truth of God's word, that we have such a depth of conviction, not of just the truth of God's word, but also of the trust, the faithfulness, the trustworthiness of God himself. God is faithful and he's trustworthy. That's what faithful means, trustworthy. And we must begin to come into that relationship, to walk in a deeper experience of that faithfulness than we ever have before. And the way it's looking right now, I mean, people are really trying to push the Antichrist agenda, whether anybody's saying it or not. There are things happening in our society right now that are just completely off the grid. I mean, they're completely derailed. And it's gone really super twisted. Well, you know what? We're still here, so we can push the Antichrist back because we're the ones that hinder him from really coming into his full power. And he won't come into his full power until we are taken out of the way. The him that is to be taken out of the way is referring, you know, a lot of people think it's the Holy Spirit. Well, if it is the Holy Spirit, well, we got to go too. There's no way we could be left behind and the Holy Spirit depart from us. That's not the way it works. But at that time, once we're taken out of the way and the Holy Spirit and God and other things are kind of taken out of the way, then guess what? I mean, he'll rise up into his full fruition. But we'll know him before that actually happens. I mean, that's what the word says, and we got to be ready for that. And so we got to be ready for this craziness. And I think that the way we become ready for this craziness, now, I mean, if you've been doing some preparation in your life and being prepared and, you know, doing things to prepare for just crazy stuff going down, that's great and all, but you know what? There comes a point when that will fail. And if it fails, you know, what are you going to have left as the guarantee of your survival, as the guarantee, not just of your survival, but of your flourishing? Because God doesn't just believe in survival. He believes in flourishing. That's the God that I serve. And so we're of a different kingdom. And it's going to become more and more critical that we begin to walk in accordance with that kingdom rather than in accordance with this worldly kingdom. You know, and even in the natural, the things that we do, you know, to prepare and so on. I mean, God tells me to do things and I do it, you know, in preparation. You know, I mean, he does that with my family. Brian just recently, God told him to do some things to get prepared. And Brian didn't really totally understand why that was so important. But God said, do it. And he did it. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're listening to God. We're following God. But yet in all of this, we know we can't count on the arm of man. We can't count on anything that we've built up and set up for ourselves as being the basis of our survival and, you know, of us continuing forward. The only way people are going to continue to be able to continue forward is if they buy into the world system completely. And that's eventually going to come to the point of taking the mark of the beast. And so, I mean, that's how crazy it'll get. And honestly, it's getting there. You know, with even the push right now to digitize currency and everything else. I mean, in my company, we've been discussing this for years, talking about, you know, digital currency and where it's going and everything else. You know, I mean, this is something that people are kind of expecting to happen, you know, and once that happens, you know, a lot of things are going to change, people. Trust me. But at this point, you know, this moral conviction has got to be the basis of our faith, that we're completely turned on to God, that we're completely sold out to his word. We're sold out to the truth of God, the truth of his word, truth of Jesus, man. And that we're so committed to it that nothing can shake us off of it. Now, right now, you need to understand, and I've been hearing about this. I follow a link online. It's called the Christian Post or something like that. And I'm not real deep into it, but I'll sit there and read some of the articles occasionally, and I'll read some of the things that are going on. And the level of persecution that's going on in the world around us right now has intensified. They're killing Christians by the hundreds, you know, in other countries. They're just going in and wiping them out. And the persecution has intensified. And even here in the States, I mean, what happened with the one church where some, you know, I think it was one or two people went in, I can't remember now, but went in and shot up the church, you know, and killed people in the church. And you know, what makes you think that what other people are suffering out there in the world isn't going to be something we're going to have to deal with? You know, we're going to have to use our faith for all these things. Amen? But see, you know, there's a big difference between presumption and true faith. You know, a lot of people think that because, you know, Bill and Eva are the pastors, that, oh, yeah, nothing's going to happen. You know, we're going to be fine because they're so full of faith and they walk with God. Hey, man, we're people. And so are you. And, you know, for you to put the dependency of your life just on us is rather crazy. You can't do that. You've got to start building this for yourself between you and God. And there's some people in our church right now that have been working covenant with God. They've been walking in covenant with God. It's been drawing them closer to God. And they're seeing amazing things God do for them. You know, they're seeing God do amazing things for them because of it. And it just keeps going. And that's a real testimony, you know. And I mean, I can say the same thing. God takes care of us phenomenally. I mean, I'm telling you, I've had to purchase some things recently that would have broke the bank before in my life. And now it's like, it's not even an issue. It's one of those things where it's easily being covered. And it's, I'm not making, you know, millions of dollars. I mean, I'm making, you know, money like anybody else, but it just seems like that money is going further. God's doing more with it. And that's part of that covenant, that God will do these things for you. Amen. Now, so that faith is that super conviction. And I like the way Thayer says towards the end of the definition, it says conviction of the truth of anything. And that's belief. Conviction of the truth. When you're convinced something is true, then that's faith. That's true faith, is when you're convinced of it. And see, it's not, oh, I believe, but you're not truly convinced. I mean, if it came down to the wire, you know, what would you do? You know, is your conviction strong enough of the truth? Is it strong enough to hold you steady when it looks like the world is falling apart around you. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Psalms 91, you guys got to go read Psalms 91. It talks about passing through the fire and passing through the, you know, through the waters. It's talking about people dying on our right, on our left hand and on our right hand, people dying, you know, but knowing that it's not going to come to us. That's the whole thing of covenant, is when you get to that place where you know where you stand with God, it changes your reality. And that's got to become our goal. In order to really, truly walk in covenant with God, we've got to establish that we really know where we stand with God. Amen. So I'm going to give you, in this teaching, I'm going to give you the fundamental basic. This is just basic. We're going to talk about more things later. But this is just the basic start of establishing covenant with God. So it goes on to say, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. In other words, it can't be done. You can't gratify God. You can't be well pleasing to God. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. So without really tying into faith, you're not going to go anywhere with God. Now, he who comes to God. Now, if you're coming to God, you know, which is the word prosirkomai, which means to approach or come near, to visit. You know, to assent to, which means to agree or express agreement. You know, if you're going to come to God, you've got to come to him agreeing with him, being in harmony with him. He who comes to God must believe. You must believe. It's necessary that you believe. You cannot come to God without faith. It's impossible. He must believe. And believe is actually the verb form of the word faith. You know, some people actually say, you know, it means to faith. But here we see in Strong's, it actually means to have faith. Well, do we have faith or do we faith? Are we truly faithing? Are we truly believing? You know, that's something that we need to think about. And it means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing. Thayer defines it as to think to be true. To think to be true is one thing. That's almost like having an opinion. Well, I believe that, you know, God, that Jesus is Lord. I believe that, you know, that can be just a thought. You know, it's more than that. It's to be persuaded of it, to place confidence in. You know, I place my confidence. You know, Evan and I, we just were talking about this earlier. Yoli brought it up, you know, that, you know, she didn't know that we had COVID and we didn't bring it up to anybody. But you know what? My confidence was in, I was fully persuaded that I was healed. My confidence was in, hey, I'm going to recover. Hey, I'm going to get better. I don't care what this is. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to destroy me. It's not going to stop me. I'm going to get better. And I'm going to get the victory over it. You know, and that's another thing somewhere down the line I'm going to start talking about a little bit more. Getting victory. But you need to understand that you got to have that kind of confidence where there was no question. In my mind, you know, when we got sick, man, I had no question that I was going to come through. I had no doubt that I was going to get better. I had no doubt. I was just like, man, it's like anything else. I'll come through it. And, you know, within 3-4 days, I was already starting to feel the recovery process begin to kick in and take over. And you know what? Within a week, I was back up to doing things. And, you know, after that, my strength came back and it's where it's been since. All right. I mean, that's just, you got to put that kind of confidence in it to where at that moment, you know, there's no doubt in your mind what's going to happen. Amen. There's, you know, it's you just, you know. Amen. And you know, when it starts getting desperate, you don't turn around and, you know, change your approach to God. Now, we must believe. All right. And this is right here we're going to get into exactly what begins to initiate the covenant with God. First of all, you need to believe that he is. Amen. God is. Now, it's really interesting. I don't know why Paul wrote this, if Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't know why he wrote the Greek word genomai here. Because it should be the word eimi, that God is, that he is. You know, or whatever the third person form of that would be. You know, it should be of that verb, not, you know, to be. Here it's of the verb to become. That word genomai means to cause, to be, or to become. It's a verb. You know, without faith, you must believe that he is caused to be, or he becomes, or he comes into being. And this is what's really interesting. It's not to say that faith causes God to exist. That's not true at all. What it says, what it's saying here is that when you believe, when you come to God, you believe and you believe that he is, suddenly he comes into being as a rewarder for you if you diligently seek him. I mean, before that, God doesn't really know you. And you need to understand that. I mean, Jesus makes that clear with the story of the 10 virgins. The five foolish came, and after they had bought their stuff and came back and was knocking on the door, and he's like, no, the door's already shut, you know. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Go. You know, and he, and they were cast out to outer, you know, to be with those who were, you know, gnashing their teeth. And you could think that that's that they're going to go to hell, but I'm not 100% convinced that's the case. I think that they're going to have their portion, you know, placed with the unbelievers, and they're going to begin to experience the judgment of God on the earth. You know, that they're going to be a part of that. Amen. And if they turn around and repent for their lack of preparation and repent of their, you know, of their basically their arrogance to think that all they had to do is say some things and then it was covered. You know, they didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to do any work whatsoever. You know, then, you know, it's after they repent of that, then they can get reestablished with God. And they'll get, and if they stay with it, they'll get hooked up on the next ride. Amen. But it's that he is, that he becomes to you that person. And that's what happened to me. I didn't know if God existed or not. You know, before I got born again, and when I started to seek God, I didn't know if he existed. I didn't know if there was anybody else out there that maybe I should go to. I didn't know that. But because somebody gave me a Bible and it just seemed like it was the easier way to go, I was kind of raised in a church that supposedly believed in God, then I began to seek God based on that little Bible. And I began to read it. I began to grow in it. I began to study. Not study in the sense that I do now, but I began to think about it and put things together and begin to understand more about God. And as I started doing that, you know, God became a rewarder to me. He became somebody that began to reimburse me back, if you want to say it that way, for my effort to seek him out. And he began to show me things. And I knew it wasn't me. I knew it had to be God. Amen. And that's what the word rewarder means. It's a remunerator, but it comes from remunerate, which means to reward, to recompense, to requite, in a good sense, to pay an equivalent to for any service loss or expense or other sacrifice. So as I was sacrificing my time to seek him, God was repaying that back. Anything I expensed out, he repaid back. Anything I lost, and I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I lost my friends because they were unsaved. I used to run with a group of guys, and one of them was Jehovah's Witness, not a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon. He was Mormon. And you know, I lost that friendship and God restored things back to me. You know, it's like God begins to show you, hey, look, I'm not going to let you hang here. I'm not going to expect all this stuff and then leave you hanging in the wind over it. And so he becomes a rewarder of those, but a rewarder of those, not that they just believe in him, but of those who diligently seek him. Now, I've covered this in depth, but I just want to reinforce this, that the word diligently seek is the word exeteo, which means to search out, to investigate, to crave, to demand. And by Hebrew, it means to worship. But to investigate, to crave, to demand God, to search out God. You know, to those who diligently, those who seek out God, who search out God, who investigate and crave and demand God. And man, once I got born again, I couldn't even begin to believe how much I was going after him. I was hungry to know more. And he began to show me all kinds of, he fed me the word and taught me, and it was awesome. And it was really a blessing. It was really a time in my life where God was really mentoring me and nurturing me on. And I didn't realize that at that moment, I was also establishing a covenant relationship with him. One that as I grew in my understanding and knowledge, God began to show me that I was in covenant with him. He came to me and said, what are your covenant conditions, Bill? What are you looking for? That what's really important to you in this life? What are you looking for, you know, out of this? And I had to pray. I had to sit down and just think about it. And some of the things that I came up with that were really important to me, God's been honoring them. You know, he's been honoring them. People in my family have all been dying very young. I don't know, maybe just one that died at 70, but they were all in the 50s and the early 60s and or even mid 60s. And God's taking care of me physically to where I will live a long life. And that's one of the things I ask for. God, I want to live a long life. I want to prove this out, that you're true, that you're good, that these things are awesome. And I didn't even realize I was walking into that relation, that covenant relationship, and stepping right into it. And so the beginning of covenant is this, is that, you know, you believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this scripture reveals three necessary requirements for establishing covenant with God. And I want to kind of get into this a little bit and, you know, and talk about this more in depth. You know, one, you cannot establish covenant with God without faith. You cannot establish covenant with God without faith. Listen to me. It is time for each one of you to go and examine yourself to see if you're really in faith. How many of you have begun to just live in the natural state that you're in? Oh, you know, I'm making enough. I pay my bills. I go to the doctor. No big thing happens. You know, if they tell me something's wrong, I go to Bill and Eva and they pray and I get better. That's our faith working. I mean, you're showing some faith by coming to us. And that's great. But there comes a time when that doesn't work for people anymore. And they just, that healing just doesn't come, or that need just doesn't get met. Now, we'll always be there to pray. It's my job to pray the prayer of faith, and I'll always do it. And I'll do it with joy. Amen. But I'm trying to prepare you so that you are not dependent upon us no matter what. Because wherever you end up, you've got to be able to take hold of God and walk in that covenant relationship with God for yourself personally. And begin to live out your faith. Amen. To walk in true faith. You know, that, and so, you know, you cannot establish covenant with God without faith. And so, you know, this comes back to this verse, the verse in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And I want to say something about this. You must really believe that God is. What does that mean? You know, I know that I gave you the definition of that, that is, he's becoming. But when you start thinking in terms of what is he becoming, what is God becoming for you? We must believe that God's becoming what for us? Is he becoming our God? Is he becoming our Savior? Is Jesus our Savior? You know, do we believe that the Holy Spirit is becoming our helper? Or does he just ride along while we do our own thing? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And so as a result, what is he becoming to you? And see, that's where true belief connects you to God. Because as you start seeing God being, see, when I first got born again, God became my Father. He became my Father. I became his Son. He became my Father. I took him on as my Father. There wasn't any statement between us where God said, I'm now your Father. Okay, now the Word says that he is. And, you know, I'd call him Father because Jesus called him Father. And you know, the other disciples refer to him as Father. But when I knew God was real, when I knew that God was there for me, when I knew that he was, that he not just existed, but he was there face to face with me. and in me after I got born again, as I knew that, he became my father. I didn't have a father, but so he became my father. He became the one who began to teach me what it meant to be a man. He became the one to teach me how to grow up. I mean, I didn't have anybody. I had no sense of discipline. I had no sense of how to govern my own self, let alone, you know, govern my finances or any of that kind of stuff. God taught me these things. Amen. And, you know, and there's been people that I've taken from that have helped in that, but I've taken from many people that have helped me spiritually as well. You know, I mean, I've learned a lot from people like Kenneth Hagin. I've learned a lot from people like, Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall is one of my favorites. I love Lester. He's gone on to be with Jesus, and I love him. We saw him before he passed away, and we were in a small church, and he was there, and he laid hands on me again, and laid hands on me, and it was cool. God blessed us. I mean, he blessed me. And you know, precious man. And you know, it's not enough that they're, you know, quote unquote men of God. You got to watch how people finish. You know, you got to watch where people end up and where they go. You know, because it's not always good. Now, I took from others, but God was the one that caused me to see the value and pull it into me. You know, we're stupid. We can't learn it all for ourselves. You pull from one another. I mean, it's just like when I was in the trades. You know, I didn't figure out how to be a glazer just, you know, figuring it out for myself. That's not the way it works. I was trained up. And in that training, I learned what was taught to me. And then as I went from other shops to other shops, as I went along in my trade, I learned more and more and more until I finally developed my skill set to the level that, you know, there wasn't much out there that was going to add to it. I mean, I just saw it. I saw it consistently. That the people that I pulled from, the ones that were really awesome at it, God had blessed me with being with those people to where I could be masterful. I could be a master in some of these areas. And believe me, I tried to teach people. They didn't want to learn it. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. So, we got to believe that he is. And see, that true belief, that true belief of what God becomes to you, that true belief is what connects you to him and causes him to be pleased with you. Faith is the means by which we connect to God. You can't connect to God without faith. You know, if you're sitting there screaming and crying out and begging and you know, calling on God and you're throwing dirt in the air and, you know, you tear your clothes, but you have no connection to him, all that screaming and crying, there's no faith in that. I mean, just look at the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. She was screaming and begging Jesus to heal her daughter, and he ignored her. You know? And, you know, and his disciples said, you know, Lord, you know, do something about her. And he says, you know, hey, the food is for, you know, it's for the people. It's for God's children, for the children. You know, and she wasn't one of the children. And then she came to him and said, heal my daughter. And he said, you know, I can't give the food to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but the scraps fall from the table and the dogs eat them. And Jesus saw that as great faith, that great faith that she showed. Once she got past all that whining and complaining and crying and begging and got into faith, Jesus laughed because she connected to him. That's what connects us to God, is faith. That's the only thing. I'm going to tell you something. You know, people can go around and say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. But if you don't really believe in God, if you don't really believe, how are you going to do that? Amen? Now, so that starts, you know, who is God to you? What does the word mean to you? Amen? Are you connected to God? How do you know if you are or not? And this is where we need to examine our faith. First of all, how much do we really believe of this? I mean, I know I'm preaching this message to you, but I can guarantee you, you're going to walk away and you're not going to get it all. You're going to let a lot of it go because it's something that you're not quite convinced of yet, which means you don't have any faith in it yet. Some of it will help you. Some of it, you know, maybe a turning point for your life. And that's what God is doing with us every day, all the time, trying to connect to us. Amen. All right, so you cannot establish covenant with God without faith. Now, you don't, there's the other side of this too. You don't just believe that He is. You know, I mean, because you can sit there and say, I believe. But what? How does God know that your faith is sincere? How does He know? How do you know your faith is sincere? How do you know that you're connecting to God? The only way that happens is if you, you know, well, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up here. You know, you don't. So to make sure that you are in faith. See, this is a problem, is that you can't just believe that He is. That's not just going to work. You got to give yourself to living by faith. You got to give yourself to living by your faith. Living by your faith. Not just faith in general, but living by your faith. It's not enough to just say, I believe. You got to give yourself to living by faith, whatever that means. And that's your journey. That's your journey of discovery, what it means to live by faith. That is on you. That is up to you. That's not something I can directly teach you. I can give you principles. And that was one of the problems that I had in teaching faith. And I was questioning God about it. Lord, it's like this doesn't seem like it's fully connecting with these people, because I'm not seeing the results in people's lives. Now, I'm seeing it in some of you guys, but in some of you, it seems like it's just water off a duck's back. And I started questioning God about that. And that's because God showed me. He said, their life of faith is going to be their journey. It's going to be theirs, not yours. You cannot show them how to live their life of faith, how to live by faith for themselves. That's their journey. That's their discovery. That's the narrow way. That's part of the narrow way. Is understanding what it means, not just what it means to live by faith, but how to get it done, how to do it. And I'm going to tell you straight up, in my own life, I'm constantly realigning my faith. I'm constantly renovating it. I'm constantly, you know, developing it. I'm constantly adjusting it. And in some cases, I'm even making some changes. Because as you grow in the Lord, as you know the Lord, and as you grow in Him, and God becomes more and more and more to you, you'll begin to understand more things. And that's how you begin to refine your faith and refine your life, is because you live it. You're living that faith. And you'll find out what's not working for you. You'll find out what does work for you. And you'll grab hold of things. You'll discover things that, you know, you'll hear things. You'll read things. You know, God will tell you things, you know, that all of a sudden will help you get your journey of faith on the right track to where it's producing for you. Because faith was designed to produce. That's what Jesus said in Luke 17. You know, when the disciples asked Him, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then He says, if any of you having a servant, you know, working in the field when he comes in, do you sit down and feed him, or do you have him sit down and feed you? You sit down and have him feed you first before he eats. In other words, it's up to us to keep our faith working. You know, it's on us to put it to work and keep it working, and to refine it, to realign it, to get it to where it's doing what it's supposed to do. Now understand, I'm talking about faith for covenant. I'm not talking about faith for miracles. You can believe God for miracles, but covenant works a little bit differently than miracles. God's always willing to provide a miracle, you know, but it's going to require faith on your part, true faith on your part to get it done. And see, when it comes to covenant, covenant works slightly different. And I'll show you that as I get into it. More and more, you'll see how it affects it. Now he says, so it's not enough to believe that he is, You got to give yourself to living by that faith, and that's on you. That's your journey, like I said. Now, Hebrews 10:38 confirms this. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, which means to withhold under or out of sight, or to cower or shrink, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The word pleasure there is the word eutychia, which means to think well of, to approve, specifically to approbate. And approbate just means to approve or sanction officially, whether it's a person or a thing. And see, a lot of you are trying to get God to approbate you, to approve and sanction you officially, and when you're doing things that are not of him. When you're living your life the way you see fit rather than the way he sees fit. When you're committed to ideologies that run contrary to the truth of God's word. When when your preference may be to go be around the world and hang out with the world rather than hang out with God and his people. These are things that we need to take into consideration. And see, the just shall live by faith. That's the command. That's spoken three times in the New Testament. And I believe it's also spoken, that same phrase is spoken three times in the Old Testament. Now, the just shall live by faith. You guys don't even understand how much the New Testament is about faith. Paul talks about that all the time. That he would see that they were in the faith. Wanted to make sure that they stayed in the faith. A lot of people think that the faith became a generic term for the gospel. No, it's talking about the faith. The gospel is how you got to that faith. Amen. It's time to move on. You got to grow up. Now, like I said, and that plays right into what he says up there, that he must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That goes back to God pleasing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's what I meant to go after, was that one right there in Hebrews 11:6 above it. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. So we got to stay in faith. So it's not enough to just believe for that moment. A lot of people, they get in trouble and then they strive to just believe at that moment and they haven't been living by faith. And frankly, if it's bad enough, God has nothing to work with. I'm going to teach a message soon on Sunday. Hopefully, maybe this Sunday, I'm going to teach a message that's going to really show you some things that you need to consider. When it comes to sickness and disease and things going on in your life, how important certain things are. But it's up to us to live by faith. Amen. Number two, you must establish your sincerity by diligently seeking him. Now, this is obvious. No, it's not. That's the whole point. Up above in Hebrews 11:6, it just says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But the way you establish your sincerity with God and the fact that you believe in him, the fact that you're committed to him, is by your diligently seeking him. That's the way that you show your sincerity to God. See, you got to understand, relationships only thrive if both parties are sincere in their interaction. If one of them is duplicitous, that relationship won't survive and it'll end up being some form of abuse if the other side doesn't catch on to that person's, their two-facedness. They have an agenda. They're trying to do something to you or against you or whatever. See, a good relationship requires people sincerely doing those things that help, cause that relationship to become stronger, to more efficiently, to make it more set and settled, make it stronger. You need to understand that. Now, this is the point of this is, covenant cannot be initiated by you just believing that God is. You must also diligently seek him. Now, I'm not talking about building a relationship with God here. I'm talking about establishing covenant with God. There's two things now that you're going to see here that's coming into play. One is, you got to believe and then you got to start living by that faith. You got to live according to what you truly believe. You got to start establishing that life cycle of faith. And then the other side is, if you want covenant with God, you must begin to diligently seek Him and continue to diligently seek Him. I might be getting ahead of myself by saying that, but oh well. So you must also diligently seek Him. Psalms 14:2 says, and I shared this, I think, before, but it bears, you know, a good witness to what I'm saying. The Lord looks down, this is Psalms 14:2, and it says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Understand. That word understand is the word sakal in the Hebrew, and it means to be circumspect and hence intelligent. God's defining circumspection and intelligent as being based on seeking Him. You know, a lot of people think they're really smart, but if they're not seeking God, they're not that smart. They may have book smarts. They may have fact smarts. You know, they may have, you know, great skill sets. But that doesn't mean they're smart in the eyes of God. And in the way that covenant is going to work with. Now, listen to me carefully. God looks down on from heaven upon the children of men. Not just Israel, but the children of men. And this is in Psalms. And He does so to see if there are any who are circumspect and hence intelligent. Now, circumspection, you know, that what that means is that you're prudent. You're paying attention to your effect on everything around you. And you're doing your best to not have such a negative effect on things around you. You want to have a positive effect on things around you. So when you got people that are condemning other people, judging other people, constantly in strife, putting people down all the time, you know what? They won't even seek God, but they won't be able to enter into any kind of covenant with God, because God, He will just completely just push them off. He won't recognize them because they're of the wrong spirit. He's looking for people that are of the right spirit and who are seeking Him. And the word seek there is the word darash, and it means to tread or frequent. In other words, come after God regularly and consistently. Usually it means to follow by pursuit or search. By implication, it means to seek or ask. And then specifically to worship. To worship, is the whole thing about worship and seeking God is really about putting God in His proper place in your life. Is God in His proper place in your life? Is He truly God in your life? Or are you treating Him like He's your buddy? You know, God is my co-pilot. No, co-pilot is subservient to the pilot. That's not God. Now, God is, He'll be our helper. If we align with Him, He'll become our helper. But He's never subservient to us. He's never below us on any level. So we have to seek Him. We have to have that right understanding, be smart, and understand that God's not going to, if we're being wicked or if we're being selfish or if we're being, you know, inconsiderate, rude, obnoxious, and self-serving, God's not going to pay us, He's not going to give us the time of day. But if we're circumspect and we're paying attention to how we affect people and we're striving, we'll all mess up. Understand that. We're all going to mess up. But if our goal is to not mess up and we mess up by accident, that's different than not caring and then just treating people however. Circumspect, you know, paying attention to your surroundings and how you're impacting people around you. That's critical. And God says that makes you intelligent. And then who seek God. Those are the ones who seek God. And He's looking for that. God is hungry for people like that. Amen? Now, this is because your covenant relationship with God is proven sincere by your continued diligence in seeking him. It's proven sincere. See, the more you seek God, the consistency. I know some of you that you get up in the morning and you spend time with God and you pray. I mean, Brian does it every morning before he goes to work. It's awesome, you know. And I know others of you that do it. You get up in the morning, you read your Bible, you meditate, you pray, you spend some time with God before you start your day. And that's awesome. Amen. And you know what? It doesn't just have to be in the morning. Some of you are not morning people. Some of you are night people. I have to come off back from work and then I spend my time with God. You know? It's you seeking God. It's you continuing your diligence in seeking him. That's whenever. But it's an awesome thing that if you can set aside time if you can set aside time on a daily basis for seeking him, you're well on your way to establishing your covenant relationship with God, because that proves your sincerity towards God. How many people I have ministered to and prayed with that would try to con God, and you know they make this grave stand, I'm going to change, I'm going to do everything this way, I'm going to do it right, and you know I'm asking that God give me this so-and-so thing. And you know, the first couple of times I've seen God actually do it for him. But then after a while, it stopped working altogether. Why? Because God ain't got time for people that are liars and hypocrites. He pays them no mind. He doesn't get upset. He just leaves them alone. Let the blind lead the blind. They'll both fall in the ditch. You know, he's not even concerned with that anymore. But when a person comes to God and he seeks to establish a relationship with him, he seeks to establish knowing God, he seeks to establish following God, and as he's doing that, I guarantee you that's going to turn God on to that person, and covenant will begin to work. I like this in Psalms 119:2. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. See, you've proven sincere when you seek God with your whole heart. And it says how happy. And that word blessed there literally is the word happiness as an interjection. It means how happy. But Bronze Drivers Briggs defines it as happiness, blessedness, and blessed are. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. See, that blessing is the beginning of covenant relationship coming upon you. You know? God told Abraham, with blessing I will bless you, and with multiplying I will multiply you. See, it all starts with that. As we show our sincerity to God and we stay consistent in our faith walk and we continue to seek him regularly and often and going, you know, after him, then God is able to, he will automatically start calling us blessed. And the moment he starts calling you blessed, covenant will begin to work on your behalf. It'll start working for you. And I like this. He says, who seek him with the whole heart. And that word whole there means the whole. All, any, and every part of you. The whole. You know, I'm going to put my heart into this. You know, there's been times when I've been studying or I've been praying, and all of a sudden my mind starts to wander. That happens sometimes when I'm reading my Bible. My mind will start to wander, and what was I reading? And then what I do is I'll focus my mind and say, you know what? I ain't got time for that stuff. If it's something important, I write it down and then I forget it, because at that moment, I'm spending time reading the Word. I'm feeding on the Word of God. And in that sense, I'm spending time with God. Whole heart. Leb, the heart. Used very widely for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect. Likewise, the center of anything. You know, putting yourself into it, lining yourself up as a person to being one who goes after God, to seek God. Amen. Well, I've already gone my hour, so I'm going to go ahead and stop here. We'll pick up on this next week.